Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and believe. You guys have a good week?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. You know, the more times I ask that question, you guys are getting more and more, yeah, huh? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good to hear. Had a pretty good week myself. It was beautiful weather, cooler, nice working weather, beautiful weather. Yeah, fall's coming. Winter's coming. Great. Yes, it is. We need to go to the Lord in prayer. We have to talk to Him a little bit this morning and see where He's going to lead this. Father, we humbly come before Your throne this morning. Father, just need to take a breath and just need to stop. Just to realize how precious You are to us and what we mean to You. Even though we seem like we're nothing, we mean so much to You. And I just, Father, just press that upon our hearts this morning, that You love us. You loved us enough to send Your Son to die on the cross. Jesus loved us enough to be spit upon and beaten. Because He knew He was paying the price for each and every one of us. Thank You for that, Father. I praise You. Father, just be with us this morning. Use me, Father, to speak Your words. Just to apply it to our hearts and our lives. That we can be in service for You and love in You. Father, we praise You and we thank You. In Your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You guys see the message title this morning?
No.
You didn't? Huh. That means you didn't look at your bulletin yet? The message title is God Pleased With You. You ever look in the mirror and wonder if God's pleased with you? I have. Huh? You ever look in the mirror and think, man, is God really happy with me? You know? Yeah, I guess, man, yeah, He loves me. You know, like, yeah, you know, He died on the cross. Yeah, He loves me. You know, but is He really pleased with you? I think the answer is yes. Huh? The answer is yes. Several weeks ago, my youngest son, his mother-in-law, passed away. Kay Ann Zagala, really beautiful Christian woman. We would see him a couple times a year. You know, we're in-laws, you know, so it ain't like we're in everybody's house all the time. That, but just a really beautiful, really sweet lady. And her passing hurt me more than I thought it would. Because I knew her, every time I meet her, she'd go, "How you doing, brother?" She was just that kind of a woman, you know. She was just always up. She battled cancer for 20 years. 20 years. Went through chemo and radiation twice. And I was thinking, you know, she went home to be with the Lord. That's cool, isn't it? Huh? That's cool. And I thought, but it still hurt. You know what I mean? And I was just looking at some things and I thought, what's it like? What is it like to go home and be with the Lord? Like, you know? And I thought this morning, you know, we're all just one breath, stepping into eternity. Something? If God doesn't give me the next breath, I'm done. Huh? If God doesn't give me the next breath, I'm going to step into eternity with Him. Isn't that cool? And I'm thinking, you know, we're walking with the Lord. You know, we talk about walking with the Lord. It's really neat, the devotion this morning, Les, to the family, and we're all needed. And I thought, that's cool. Because you know what? We're going to start in Genesis. Genesis chapter 5. I want to look at a guy. And this is really it. The more I looked at this, the more I thought, this is pretty cool. You know, I was thinking about walking with the Lord. Walking with, I told you before when I preached, you know, walking is taking steps, right? Taking steps, right? I'm walking, right? If I'm walking. No, you're not, Matt. You're standing still. You're not moving at all. Walking means we're taking a step, we're walking, right? Walking with the Lord. Genesis chapter 5. Goodness. And then verse 21. This is kind of a genealogy thing going on here. If you look at this. And then verse 21. Let's start there. Enoch. Enoch was an interesting guy. I think he's only mentioned like 5 times in the Bible. Okay? Not much said about him. Pretty, you know, one of those guys you don't know much about. But Enoch was 65 years old. Methuselah was born. So his son was Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after the birth of Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And I was thinking about that. I mean, some of us are getting kind of old, right? We're getting kind of up there, right? Would you want to live another 300 years with all the problems you got right now? No! Take me now! Right? You know, I'm thinking, okay, the guy's 365 years old. Could you imagine the trials and tribulations? And it said he had other sons and daughters. So he had a lot of kids. Kids could be trials. Right? Huh? So, and that's not including all the other stuff. He's 365 years old. This guy's dealt with a lot of stuff, right? What's the rest of this say? Verse 24. And Enoch walked with God. He was not, for God took him. That's interesting, isn't it? The Amplified says, an Enoch walked in habitual fellowship. This word for walk is more like stroll. You got to walk in together, we're strolling. Yeah. No hurry, we got nowhere to be, we're just strolling. Huh? God says, you know what, Matt, put your tennis shoes on. I'll put mine on, let's go for a walk. That's what he did with Enoch. He said, let's go for a walk. And they said, you know what? We're closer to my home than we are yours. Why don't you just come on home with me? Isn't that cool? He was walking with God. And this word for walk means it's continual. It's not a one-time thing. It's just continual over and over, walking with God. He walked with God continually. And God says, you know what? This is kind of nice. Why don't we just go on to my place and we'll keep walking? Isn't that cool? I think of that, okay. Huh? Isn't that cool? She had a walk here on earth, and she spent her time with God, and she was in His presence, and she loved Him, and she knew that He loved her. And it was like, I've come to a point like, okay, come on home. Isn't that cool? That is so cool. And I thought, and he walked with God, and he wasn't. And he wasn't. Huh. And you think, it's cool. It's one of the only two people in the whole Bible that I see that actually never died. You know? Who's the other guy? Elijah, yeah. So, okay, so how's that? Okay, walk with God, that's cool. So what then? What then, Matt? What then? Well, if you go all the way back to the New Testament, let's go to the book of Hebrews. Go to the book of Hebrews. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 11. Big faith chapter. It's called the faith chapter. Because Hebrews 11 just goes from person to person, person to person, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And I'm like, okay, so we're walking with God, right? By faith. And this brought another aspect of Enoch's walk. Because you read in Genesis, it's pretty basic, right? Walk with God, God took him. He was pleasing to God. That's where I come up with the title of the sermon. God pleased with us. Yeah. Yes. You know, God wants nothing more than to have a relationship with you. He did everything that He did to restore the relationship He had with Adam and Eve before the fall in the garden. He did everything He did. Christ went to the cross, died on that cross, so we could have fellowship, unbroken, access to the throne. You're a child of the Almighty God. You know, when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are a child of the Almighty God. You know that? When your kids come to you, you know, they pick them up, huh? Or something happens and it hurts and you pick them up. What do they want? They want to be held by you, right? They want to be, they're protected because they know Mom and Dad are going to protect me, right? They get older and then they start thinking differently. But you know what I mean? When they're little. It's the same with God. He wants you to come running to Him. He wants you to bring all your stuff to Him. He says, I'll hold you. I'll hold you. I'll take care of you. I love you. I'll kiss it and make it better. Huh? It's God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, it says, by faith, the Amplified says, he was caught up and transferred to heaven. This caught up, transferred, means he went from one place to another. Change of location. When we die, you know the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you're going to have a change of location. You're going to go from a place that is hot, too hot, cold, too cold, miserable, too miserable, hungry, thirsty, tired, painful, you know, all this stuff. You're going to be changed to a place where it's like, can you imagine? No, we can't because we're all, ow, right? We all have a stuff, right? So, he was transferred to heaven so that he did not have a glimpse of death. He didn't die. And he was not found. He was gone. He was just gone. Gone. Because God had translated him. For even before he was taken to heaven, he received testimony, still on record, that he had pleased and been satisfactory to God. That's something. Do you know when you're walking with God, and you're talking to God, and you're spending time with him, and you're reading the Bible, you know that's his word. It says that's his word. He took a lot of time to put that thing down on paper. You and I to look at it, right? I told you before, it's his love letter to you and I. God loves you so much that it took him 1,500 years to put a letter together just for you. Isn't that cool? He loved you that much. He spent all this time putting his love letter together, and it sits on our shelf and draws dust. Huh? I think about this sometimes. If you guys only eat one time a week? Huh? Do you only eat on Sundays at 10 o'clock? We only eat on Sundays at 10 o'clock. That's the one time a week we eat. That's the week we don't eat nothing. Huh? How would you feel if you didn't eat all week? Huh? You come dragging it. I got no strength, hard to get out of bed. Huh? It's the same with your spiritual man or spiritual woman. If you only get fed one time a week, you're going to be weak. Huh? You're going to be tired all the time. I can't take it. God, I can't take it. And God's like, dude, just come walk with me. Just come walk with me. It'll be a good time. Hold hands. Talk to God. You know what, God? I got this problem. It's a big one. It's just bugging me. I'm getting anxious about this. He says, why don't you just give it to me? Here, I'll carry it for you. Here, no, I got it. You go ahead. Let's just keep walking. I got it for you. Don't even worry about it. I got it. I've got this thing, okay? Can we believe that God is bigger than any problem we have? Can we believe that God is powerful, more powerful than any problem we have? Can we believe that He is amazing? Huh? He's God! And He just wants to walk with you. He just wants to have fellowship with you. He just wants to be around you. Isn't that something? He was pleasing to God. What's verse 6 say? We've all heard this. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. What's the rest of that verse say? For whoever would come near to God must believe that God exists and that He is a rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek Him out. Do you believe that God will reward you for seeking Him? Do you understand? When you sit down, we're not reading this Bible to be, look at me. No, look at me. I memorized the whole Old Testament. Really? Yeah. I don't care. You see what I'm saying? Why do we read it? Why do we read it? Because we want to know Him more, right? We look at these, and you're getting up here preaching, it's just like this. Enoch thing. I was like, it's Enoch. Yeah, I know who Enoch was. I know all this stuff. But when I got to looking at all this stuff, I was like, that's pretty cool. And you know, in that part where Enoch was pleasing to God, it says, and God's faithful. He's going to reward those who diligently seek Him. What rewards are you going to get? I'm going to have all the money I need, all the clothes, all the food I can eat. No. This reward, I think, is here. Because you ever have people that's in trouble, have problems? And like, well, God's going to take care of it for me. Huh? Person says that like that to me, I'm thinking, okay. But when I have a person that says, you know what? I've been talking to the Lord about this thing, and no matter what happens, I'm going to trust Him with it. no matter what happens, I am going to trust Him with it. I had a conversation with a very intelligent person this week. And this person said, you know, it doesn't really seem like I have much influence on a lot of people. You know what I mean? I got a small circle of people. And I thought, yeah, but you know, the one or two people you touch, whatever. And the Lord slapped me right upside the head this week, because on Saturday mornings, I usually go get my lunch stuff for the week. I go to this little deli. There's a girl there, younger woman, 30-something. She got to know her. She say her. She's, hey, my name's Hannah. Hi, how you doing? I'm Matt. You know, talk, you know. I'm there 5 minutes. I get my stuff and leave. Okay. 3 weeks ago, I had to work a Saturday. I didn't show up. So the next Saturday, I went in there. She goes, I'm mad at you. I'm like, really? What did I do? She said, you weren't here last Saturday. I had to work. I'm still mad at you. Okay. I mean, that's fine, you know. So we talk, you know, whatever. Last week, she comes to me. She goes, I think I'm pregnant. I'm like, well, praise the Lord. Good for you. She said, we've been trying. She said, I'm pregnant. She said, I haven't even told my mom yet. I'm thinking, why are you telling me? You know what I mean? I got nothing in it, but it's nice. She said, that's cool. She said, I got an ultrasound Friday. I said, that's cool. Good. I went yesterday. I walk in, and another girl, she goes, he's here. He's here. I'm like, she says, I said, how did they go? Great. She says, I got twins. I'm like, praise the Lord! Huh? And I'm thinking to myself, I don't know this woman that much. You know, I just went there and get my lunch stuff. I mean, it ain't like I go to, you know, I don't know her. But I thought, you think God uses you to touch people's lives? Yeah, He does. Even when you don't even know you are. I don't know. I just talked 5 minutes, I'm going. I didn't like that, you know what I mean? And I thought, isn't that cool? That the Lord, working through me, can touch somebody and I don't even know I'm doing it. Isn't that cool? You got the same problem. You got the same problem. You're touching people and they don't even know. You know what I mean? You may not even know what you're doing. I wonder sometimes if that's not sometimes our reward. Sometimes, you know. I'm studying and it comes out. You know, somebody says, praise the Lord, you know. It just comes out. You know what I mean? You say that and people look at you like, okay, cool. That's really cool. You know what I mean? And I'm thinking, yeah. So what's all this have to do with walking with the Lord, man? Well, there's another place that Enoch is mentioned. The book of Jude. It's right before Revelation. It's one chapter. It's not even designated because it's just some verses there. But the book of Jude is interesting. We don't know much about Enoch, but in the book of Jude, he's referenced here in Jude. I don't know. Jude was written to the believers because of false teachers, apostates, people that came in intentionally wanting to disrupt the faith. That's what this book is written to. And he talks about them being, we can read it. We can read it. He talks in verse 11, we'll start. Woe to them. They have run riotously in the way of Cain and have abandoned themselves for the sake of gain after the error of Balaam, and perished in the rebellion like that of Korah. Think back in the Old Testament, look at them. These guys were all trying to be better than they thought they were. These are hidden reefs. You know, a hidden reef will sink a ship, right? These are hidden reefs in your love feast, where they boldly feast sumptuously without scruples, providing for themselves. There are clouds without water. It means that cloud. You ever want rain, need some rain, the cloud goes by and they go to rain? No, it didn't. What he's saying, these are clouds without water, swept along by the winds, trees without fruit at late autumn gathering time, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. They're dead twice. Wild waves of the sea, flinging up the foam of their own shame and disgrace, wandering stars for whom the gloom of eternal darkness has been reserved for. Wow, this sounds like some bad people, doesn't it? What's verse 14 say? It was of these people, moreover, that Enoch, who? Enoch? In the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied when he said, behold, the Lord comes with his myriads of holy ones, saints, to execute judgment upon all and to convict all of the unholy ones of their ungodly deeds, what they have committed in such an ungodly way, of all the severe, abusive, jarring things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Wow. I didn't see that in Genesis anywhere, did you? No. Jude, obviously, there's a book called the Book of Enoch. You ever hear of it? It was compiled during the late couple centuries B.C. before Christ and then after that. It's called the Book of Enoch. It's just writings and stuff. It's not in the canon of the Bible. But this is actually taken from that. Chapter 1, verse 9. Book of Enoch. So Jude, obviously, believed this. And obviously, if Enoch lived, he was the seventh generation from Adam. You know that? Long time before this, he was actually the first person to say, you know what? God's coming back. Huh? He was the first one to ever say, God's coming back. You guys better be careful. He's coming back. He's going to bring saints with him and myriads of angels. He's coming back. You're going to answer. You're going to pay for all the stuff you said and done against him. Wow. And Jude writes it down here. I thought, that's pretty cool. So Enoch walked with God. He obviously had conversations with people in those 365 years, right? Wow. I thought that's pretty cool. So we impact people when we don't even know it. We affect people when we don't even know it. God uses you when you maybe don't even know it. And if you're not going to say anything, God might just use you anyway. Huh? He might just use you anyway. I wasn't going up there preaching to them people. Huh? No. God used your actions, who you are, how you act. Yeah. The young woman found her father had passed away. And I guess maybe I'm that father figure. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the Lord's using that for. It's interesting. I'm kind of excited to see where the Lord's going to take it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So what's all this mean, Matt? For walking with the Lord? Let's go back to the Old Testament. Let's go back to the book of Micah. You ever been in the book of Micah before? It's right after Jonah. Book of Micah. Yep. Micah chapter 6. I want to show you something here. And this kind of was something that kind of brought me to it here. Micah was, you know what Micah means? The name Micah means, who is like the Lord? Huh? It means, who is like the Lord? And Micah, he was prophesying and talking to these people that were just, they were doing some bad stuff. They weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. They weren't following God's commandments. They weren't doing what God had laid out for them. They were still sacrificing. They were still sacrificing animals. They were sacrificing. They weren't doing them the way God had told them to do it. And it's almost like here in chapter 6, he talks about, talks about how different people, different things, but I think we're going to start in verse 6. What shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Asking a question. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn? What? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He's saying it is. God isn't saying, you know what? I'm not saying that the sacrifice is important, but you're doing it wrong. All these sacrifices that you're giving can't cover up how you're living. Whoa. Even if you took your firstborn and killed him for your sins, for you, it won't cover up how you're acting. It won't cover up how you're walking in this life. It won't cover up all the things you're doing bad. Huh? It won't cover that up. That's what he's trying to say here. God says, you know, it's not about the sacrifice. It's about the way you're doing it. The way you're acting. What you're doing behind it. Wow. What's verse 8 say? He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love kindness and mercy, and to humble yourself and walk humbly with your God. Wow. Isn't that something? God says, I showed you. I show you what it takes. He says, I want you just, what's it required to walk before me? I just want you to what? I just want you to walk justly. Justly here, I got lots and lots of pages of stuff, but none of it really matters. Because justice means to It's judgment. It means to sit and judge correctly. You can look at something. Someone tells you something. It's like a judge. You know, they sit in court and they sit there and they go, okay, this is that story. Yeah, this is the story. Okay, and he says, okay, the right thing here is this. You know what I'm saying? That's what this means. To judge rightly. Don't be thinking of your game. Don't be thinking of how I can get ahead in this situation. If I did this, I could do it. Huh? Don't be thinking that. He says, you know, you need to walk justly. Justice. You need to be just before me. Now what's he say? They love mercy. This word for mercy can be used for grace. It's the word hesed. Got your attention on that one, didn't I? Hesed. I don't know what I did there, but I did something. Hesed is pretty much ties in with God's love, His loving kindness, His steadfast, never wavering, never ending, never going away. It's always going to be there, no matter where you are, what you're doing, who you are, what you're doing. It don't matter. God's love is going to be. It's a steadfast, never changing love. Wow. What do you think about that? I wrote down something on that too. His love never changes. So, if we're to walk before our God in justice, doing rightly, and we're to walk before God with a love, loving kindness that never changes. I like that one. Got some people you don't like very well? I wasn't talking about me, Barb. I'm talking about other people maybe outside the church. You know, people that you don't, you know. How do you love a person that you just don't really like them very well? That's hard. You know, the only way you can love somebody like that is if you're walking with God. Say, God, you know, that person really rubs me the wrong way. He's like, they do me too, yeah. But, you know, we still love them. I know. Huh? That doesn't mean you have to be a doormat, right? Doesn't mean you have to be a doormat, but we still have to love them people. Because you know what? They need God as much as we do. Wow. Loving kindness, wow. And then what's he say? And to humble yourself and walk humbly with your God. This word for humble, it means to humiliate. Ever been humiliated? Anybody said, you're just stupid, ain't you? There's nothing really wrong with you. You're stupid. Ever anybody tell you that? Huh? There's nothing wrong with you. You got a lot upstairs. I mean, you know, it's the way God made you. You know what I mean? Huh? You ever have anybody tell you that? Huh? Nobody's saying it. I'm the only one with my hand up. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Gosh. But to humiliate, I thought about that. You know, sometimes when you share your faith with somebody, somebody can get pretty nasty with you, can't they? Yeah. I'll read you something here. The Message. I kind of like The Message. It's different. I like to look at different versions of our scriptures and how they're laid out. I want to read you this. This is how you write. But it says, but He, God, has already made it plain how to live, what to do, what God is looking for in men and women. Because that word for man and old man is a person. That means men and women. None of us get out of this. We're all in it. It's quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbor. Be compassionate and loyal in your love. And don't take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously. And I thought, you know, that's pretty good. I like that. Be fair with your neighbor. Fair and just with your neighbor. Be compassionate and loyal in your love. And don't take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously. Because you know He's going to come back one day. One day we're all going to face death. You know that? We all know that, right? We all know that. We're all going to face death. We're going to be like Cain. We're going to step from this old troublesome world. And I have to believe in my heart that when you step into eternity, Jesus is there. Welcome home! Can you imagine that hug? Can you imagine how good that's going to feel? Welcome home! Yay! Can you imagine? Huh? You know what I'm saying? I just believe in my heart of hearts that that's what it's going to be like. He's welcome home! Huh? We hang on to this old life for everything we're worth. We got a much better place waiting. When I think of that, I think, wow. I just have to walk with God. I have to trust Him. I have to know that He's big enough to handle all my problems. He's strong enough to carry me in all my problems. He is that guy. He's a man. And I need to do what's right for my neighbors, you and everyone I meet. I need to have a compassionate love that's loyal to you and everyone I meet. And I don't need to take myself too seriously. I got to take Him seriously. I have to be humble. Well, I don't know if you got anything out of there or not, but I'll tell you what, it really helped me. Because I thought, you know, when we start looking at our eternity, it's a pretty cool thing, guys. And I don't think I'd ever want anybody to come back. You know? When I look at that, I think of that, can you imagine getting hugged by Christ? You wouldn't want to come back to this old messed up place. Huh? No. Hope that touches your heart this morning. It did mine. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we humbly come before this throne. We thank you, Father, for the ability to look to eternity, knowing that our lives are not done here. There's a part of us, Father, that's going to live forever. And it's going to be with you in your presence. And that's just going to be such an awesome thing. There won't be no more separation. We're going to be together with you. We praise you. We thank you, Father, for this time. We just ask you to impress this upon our hearts. This place is temporary, but our future home is forever. We thank you and we praise you, Father. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. I got done early today. Praise the Lord. Dougie's not even out here. No. I guess somebody probably go back and get him, I guess. Jamie, okay, cool. Praise the Lord. This is a time that we always offer. The praise team comes forward. The elders come forward. This is a time we always offer. And I don't want to become humdrum or melodramatic here, but this is a time we offer for you to come forward. If you want prayer for any reason, if you need to come forward, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we're here for that too. We want to introduce Him to you so we know where you're going. If there's anything you need prayer for, that's what we're here for. We're not any closer to God. These three men here are not any more spiritual than you are. They're just here, and they want to take you before the throne. And we're going to sing a little song this morning. While that song's being sung, if you feel like you want to come forward, you're going to be here. We're going to pray for you.